Super. Well, we're going to pray, and we're going to have a little look at chapter 3 of Corinthians, aren't we? Is that right? Right. So let's pray, and we'll have a little look at that. Thank you, Lord. Your kingdom is growing. Lord, you're at work around this world, and Lord, that's what your intention was right from the beginning. Lord, that the nations of the earth would come to know and hear the love and wonderful love of God in Jesus. Lord, we pray your blessing for us as we come to your word. Help us to understand it and to see how it applies in our lives, our personal lives, our fellowship lives, and in the kingdom that we're involved in, Lord. Pray you'll bless us and help us as we call upon your name, dear Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 3. Remember, Paul's writing to this church that had everything, and I mean everything. It had all the blessings and all the problems. So a great mix of a church, this one. And he's writing, one of the things he's been told was that there were people forming groups, favouritism, that's what he was going on. So Paul is dealing with that, and in chapter 3 he gets to the nitty gritty of it, really. Verse 1, brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. So, he's saying, I came and spoke to you, but I couldn't address you as spiritual people, but as worldly people. Now, what's he mean? Are they Christians? See, we ask them questions, but they always dodge the answers. Yes, right, yeah. They are Christians. Yeah. He's writing to them as Christians. He calls them brothers, after all. Yeah. But what's their problem? They're not spiritual. Mm. What he means by that is they're not mature. They're not behaving like Christians. Mm. They are genuine children of God, but they've still got so much of the old Corinth in them that you'd hardly know it. That's what he's getting at, yeah? So he says, when I came, I couldn't give you solid food. I had to give you milk. What do you give milk to?
Babies.
Yes. That's what they were effectively saying, is you don't know half of what you should know. And he says, you weren't ready for it then, and you're not ready for it now. That's the problem. There's no problem in becoming a baby Christian. Nothing wrong with that, is there?
No.
Right. The problem is, if you stay a baby, that's the issue. Right. We all come to Jesus, and most of the stuff we need to get rid of eventually, you know, I mean, all the dumb ideas that we started out with. So that's okay. Right? We grow. But these Corinthians, if they were growing in the wrong direction. They got some silly ideas. And so he says, you're still worldly, right? You're not behaving the way you should. For since there is jealousy and quarrelling among you, are you not worldly? It's a proof of that they're still not mature, is that they're, what are they doing? Being jealous of others and quarrelling. Mm. Why are people jealous?
Envy.
Yeah, but why?
Because it's
part of the sinful nature.
I don't know, but
what's going on when someone's jealous?
They want to be respected and liked.
They want something that somebody else has got. Yeah, is that the case? Or they want to be somebody else or something like that.
They're not happy in themselves, are they?
Yes, they want the glory rather than someone else.
They're not content.
That's what I'm after, really. They're not content. What the problem is, discontent is really saying, God, you're being mean to me and you're being nice to them.
Mm.
And that's a lie, isn't it?
Yeah.
God knows what we need. Mm. Right, so, why should we be jealous? Yeah? If somebody, I've got news for you, this one. The people that you think you might be jealous of, you want to live in their skin for 3 weeks. And you'll find out they've got enough problems to keep themselves going and you don't want them either. Yeah? It's the way it is. Yeah? So, no need to be jealous. And what are they doing? They're also quarrelling. Oh dear. What's going on? They're arguing with each other. Yeah. It's not good, is it? And brothers and sisters, this is a church. Isn't it wonderful? Would you join this church? It's one of the finest in the world, is the Corinthian church. So many, he told us, all these spiritual gifts, all these blessings, and yet got some big problems. But that's true. I mean, I'm glad that they had their problems, because it shows us that they were real people, and if God showed them how to get over their problems, we can learn from their mistakes, can't we? So he says, okay, you're quarrelling, and are you not acting like mere men, just ordinary, when he says mere men, he means like non-believers, really, just ordinary humans. God, God knows for you, a Christian is not human. Well, not just human. Yeah. You're supernatural. That's the point. God's spirit living in us, yeah? So, for when one says, I follow Paul, and I, another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men? He says, look, what's all this in Adam? I've got Paul as my favourite, one says, and the other says, I think Apollos is a lot nicer, I prefer him, you know. And Paul's going to take himself to pieces, just to show you that he's not worth following, in that wrong sense of the word, yeah? As he said, what after all is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants, through whom you came to believe, as the Lord assigned each to each his task. What are we? Something you need to learn, brothers and sisters. What are you? You're a servant. That's what you're meant to be. Right? And servants don't have a lot to say in what they do, you know? Have you noticed that? Right?
Not only a servant to God, is it? As you said, if you want to serve me, serve other people.
Yes, yes, that's how it works out, isn't it? Yes, so the thing about a servant is he's not thinking about himself all the time. Yeah. Or herself. So we tell the ladies as well, of course, yeah? Yeah. And so, he says, Paul and I, Apollos and I, we were servants. We were doing the job God gave us to do. Yes? And he's going to explain what the job was. But that's all we were. We were just doing the job that God gave us to do. Each to his own task. Great lesson here, brothers and sisters. Let me tell you this. You can never be me. And I can never be you. God's made you, you, and me, and he's got jobs for you and jobs for me which won't be the same. Yeah? And God's going to ask you at the end of the day, did I preach like Billy Graham? No, he's not going to ask me that. He's going to ask, Dennis, did you do what I told you to do? That's the question I'll hear. And it's the same for you and me. Yeah? So don't get jealous of somebody else or think, you know, that they're better than you are, because they've got a job to do just like we have. And each has their own task. That's what he's getting at. Yes? And he uses this illustration. I planted seed and Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. He's using a gardening image, isn't he? Farming idea, right? What does he mean, I planted a seed?
He told them, and Apollos is just like carrying on,
edifying
what he said.
Planted a seed, but he's really talking about the start of the church. Mm. Yeah? What did he do? He shared the gospel. That's what he says. I planted the seed. Yeah? They hadn't heard about Jesus before he turned up. So he planted the seed. And when he left, what did Apollos do? He says he watered it. Came round with his watering can. What does he mean he carried on?
He carried on preaching the gospel.
Yes. What Apollos did was, Paul, in a sense, was the midwife. Yeah, I'm changing the analogy now, yeah? Yeah, he planted the seed. He's like a little baby starting out. So Paul got him started. What did Apollos do? He came along and fed them, so that they started growing. Yes?
Changed the nappies.
Well, probably that as well. Yes, I remember a minister some years ago, he said, he left the ministry. He says, I've got fed up of changing nappies. And he wasn't talking about babies.
That's all
it is. Yeah. Yes. Anyway, there you are. It goes with the job, you know. Anyway, Apollos, he watered, Paul planted. But he says, God made it grow. I've got news for you. If you get some seeds from your local garden, you know, place, wherever you buy the things from, and put the seeds in the oven at gas mark 6 for 2 hours, right? That should kill them off, shouldn't it? Yeah? Yes? Now get your seeds and go and plant them in the garden and start watering them, and what will happen?
They're dead.
They won't grow. You can plant as many seeds as you like, and you can water as much as you like. They are not going to grow. Well, why?
Because they've been in the oven, you mean?
Yeah, I've killed them.
No.
The ones I put in the oven, I've taken them out, let them cool off, and planted them. And they won't work, will they? It won't grow. Because they haven't got life. Now, what Paul's saying is, I did my bit. He did his bit. But I'll tell you where the life came from, and it wasn't us. Yes, it's God who makes things alive, makes them grow. Yeah, so guys, get your eyes off us and start realizing God's at work through us. That's all it is. Mm. Yes, God makes things grow. Praise the Lord for that. Yeah. So, neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. Yeah, so everybody say, just think about it. We're not important in the end. It's God who gets the glory. Yeah. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose. In fact, they're both doing the same job. I mean, they're different jobs, but it's the same job, making something grow. One has to start it, the other waters it, but the whole objective is, we're going to get some plants. And that's what he's saying, is we all have our different bits, but each has one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labour. Yes, that's good news. Mm-hmm. I won't be rewarded for what you do. And you won't be rewarded for what I do. Mm-hmm. Yeah? So, just say this, brothers and sisters, this is really important. Your life counts. What you do counts. That's one of the most wonderful things about knowing you're a child of God, is that you're not here just by accident. It's not a mistake on somebody's part. You are here with the purpose that God has, and what you do matters. Yeah, you might think, I'm not important, I'm nobody, I don't do anything. Yeah, well, what you do matters. It really does. Yeah. So, here we have it. Each one will be rewarded according to his own labour. And then he says, for we are God's fellow workers. That's right, yes. That's what he's saying about himself and Apollos. And you are God's field. Yeah, so you're the place where God caused us to work and to be a blessing. And then he says, you're God's building. He's just changed the picture. Instead of farming, we're into building now. We move sites to the building site. That's the idea. So you're a building. Did you know that? Right? What's the important aspect of a building as opposed to a farm? There's a real important bit of the image about a building. Well, we'll come to the foundation. A farming is spread out. It's different plants all over the place. A building is something that's a whole thing on together, isn't it? A building isn't a building if all it is a door and a window. It needs all together. That's the idea. And that's what he's talking about in his Corinthians. Instead of splitting up into groups and thinking they're more important than the other, just remember you're all part of this one marvellous structure called the Church of Jesus. Yeah. So, you're God's building. And now he's going to give some interesting things. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder. And someone else is building on it. I think it's wonderful how Paul actually takes the light of himself and says, you know, it's God who did this. It's the grace of God. I mean, I did my bit, but I'll tell you, couldn't have done any of it unless God had been working in me and through me. So by the grace of God that God's given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and he did his best to make sure that things got off to a good start. That's what he means, yeah? And someone else is building on it. Well, that was Apollos and others besides, yeah? That each one should be careful how he builds. Mm-hmm. This is a serious bit now, yeah? For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Christ Jesus. So what, and he's using the idea of you're building your life as a building now. What's going to be your foundation? Faith in Jesus. Believing in Jesus. Who he is, what he's done. Because if you don't, I mean, Jesus used the parable. He's in a way, he's picking up Jesus' parable about the sand and the rock, isn't he? If you build on the sand, it's going to collapse. Life's problems will finish you off. If you build on the foundation of solid rock, which ultimately is Jesus, of course, what Jesus says is what he said there in the parable. But building on him, life's problems still turn up. The wind, the waves and the waters and all that. But you'll stand. Because he's got a good foundation. So, you've got to lay the foundation. There's no other foundation that can be laid except the one that's already laid, which is Jesus Christ. So we're not changing the gospel. That's got to stay basic, yeah? Now, if any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. Now he's using this building idea. What's he saying? What sort of gold, silver and precious or costly stones. He's not talking about diamonds and rubies and all that sort of stuff, I don't think. He's talking about a sort of a temple building. What do you do with a temple building? You use good quality marble stuff, good stones, quality stones, yes, and gold and silver as decorative stuff, yeah. So he says, you're building a temple. If you build with that, yes, that's all right. Or you can build with wood, hay and straw.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wood, hay and straw looks all right at the time, mm-hmm. but it's not going to last.
Mm-hmm.
And it won't last when the fire comes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, somebody's going to set fire to it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because what happens is he says, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and fire will test the quality of each man's work.
That's the judgment.
That's the judgment, yeah. Yes. Essentially, he's saying is, here you come with your life, and God's going to find out what materials you've used to build your life. Now, what does he mean by the materials you've used? It means, what kind of things have you done that please the Lord, that are a blessing to others, yeah? They're those good works, we call them, yes? That's another way of describing these wood, silver, gold and costly stones. They're good works, the things that God wants us to do. Like?
Why?
Like, what kind of things does God want you to do?
Help the poor,
be kind to others, share the word, yeah? Yeah, show kindness and compassion, thinking about others, caring about others, yes?
And don't be jealous.
Don't be jealous, yes. They count, yes? Yeah. So all of those things come...
What you do is it's the values you have.
Yeah, but the values that you have... Yeah, it's true, yes. But the value, it ain't what you do, it's the way that you do it, is the phrase, isn't it? But
the values you have make you do it.
But the values you have ultimately should reflect what you do. Yeah?
What you do comes down to the values.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Yes, yes. Did I get that the wrong way around?
No, that's what he said.
In Proverbs, I was thinking of a proverb at the time, he says, as the heart, so the man is. Yeah. So inside is what counts, the motives matter, yeah?
Mm.
Right. And that's good news in that as well, because others might not appreciate what you do, right? But it's not their judgment that counts.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what they think, ultimately. Mm. If you're doing what the Lord wants you to do, you get the brownie points, you could say, you know what I mean. Yeah. So we're building with gold and silver and precious stones. Those are the good things that God wants us to do. Yeah. But you may have an off day, or maybe more than an off day, and you start building with a bit of wood and straw and hay. It goes up quick, doesn't it? With wood, straw and hay. Yeah. But it comes down quick as well. He says it's going to be revealed by fire. This is talking about the judgment day, when we stand before Jesus. It's as if God's coming with a match. And you're standing on a pedestal, and God sets fire to the burner underneath you, right? Yes. What happens is, if there's wood, hay, and straw, that's going up, gone. If it's gold, silver, and precious stones, it's still there. Yeah, I don't think God's going to set fire to you, but standing in His presence. With wood, hay and straw, I don't think it would be a very pleasant experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But he's saying is that they will test it, yes? And it's going to be revealed with fire, the judgment of God, yes? And the fire will test the quality of each man's work. And that's what you'd said, it's the quality, it's the right motives,
mm-hmm.
what you've done with your life. It matters, yes? Right. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. See, so the judgment isn't to throw you to hell. That's not what it's about, right? And I got news for you. This isn't about purgatory either.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The Catholic Church taught purgatory from this passage. Yeah? It's not about purgatory. It's about an individual being judged by the Lord for what he's done. And we'll see what happens is, he says, if what you've done survives, you get a reward. Do you think that's fantastic? I never ceases to amaze me. I'll spell it out. What I mean is this. God comes into your life and he blesses you and he enables you to do things that please him, and when you do the things that please him, he rewards you for it. Oh, it's unbelievable, isn't it? I mean, that's grace all over. And so God's going to bless you for the things you do. There are rewards, yeah? I'll say it again. What you do counts. It really does matter. Yeah. The little things sometimes are more important than the big things, I guess. What you do counts. Yeah. So he says, if what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. You've seen, and I just feel sad about some people, you know, they just fritter their lives away. Mm. You know, they know Jesus, but don't make a lot of difference, really. Mm. And they're going to find out everything they've lived for, everything they've done, just gone up in smoke. Mm. Yeah? Says, but this is the interesting thing. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. Now, there's a terrible, well, puzzle about this. But he says he will be saved. He will be saved. So he's not. He's still a Christian, yeah. But he hasn't got anything to show for it at the end. That's essentially what he's saying. Yeah. Now, question: when you get to heaven, will you be happy?
Yeah.
Will you be happy?
Yeah.
You sure now?
Definitely.
Good. Good. That's true. Yes.
Get through the gate.
Yeah. Yes. When you get to heaven, you'll be happy. So, how can this guy who suffers loss be happy?
But that Max, he's just going to suffer loss as worldly stuff.
Worldly. Yeah, but he's got no rewards. I mean, you know.
It doesn't matter. Right. You're happy, it doesn't matter.
Right. Do you think he might be jealous in heaven saying he's got more than I am? No, no, no.
Well, where does that stand with our recently thing I've been living by, really, is number of times it says you only have to believe and you're it, and God, that's what he wants.
Yes.
It's the number of times it's said that.
That's right. Well, that's what he's saying.
I believe yes. He can do everything, anything he's up
to. Absolutely. And he's saying is there will be saved.
So he can put the worlds in the sky. I believe everything.
Yes.
So I just believe.
Good.
And if I do that,
you're saved.
It makes life easier.
It makes life easier.
I haven't done anything
really,
you know.
Ah, now Ron. Ron, now, you have.
Okay, I'll probably doing cars this week. And
yes.
There you go.
But you're not, the point being is, we're not doing them for the rewards.
No.
Yeah, we get rewarded, but our motive is we want to serve the Lord. We want to please the Lord, yeah? But, he says, they'll be saved, even if they haven't done a thing.
Mm.
Yeah, they'll be saved. In other words, they believed in Jesus as their Saviour and their Lord. Yeah.
You don't want to stand as a reward. You're being measured by your rewards.
No, no, you're not measured by your rewards. You're measured by your faith in Jesus. That's where you're saved.
Do you think there's
a... There are different levels, you think?
I
do not know.
If he tells you to do something wrong, when you do it, then you're
alright.
If he
tells
you to
do it, you're alright. I'm a new creation, and I'm...
Yes, praise the Lord. Yeah. Well, let me offer this a bit of advice, Ron, and maybe for all of us, we all need to take this in hand. Yeah, is this? You're probably not the best judge of all the good that you do.
Yeah.
Other people probably see more than you see. We tend to be sort of negative towards our own things, you know, and put them down a bit. But you know, others might say, you know, Ron's a rare chap. And they do, Ron. I mean, you know, I think he's a great guy. Yeah.
Serve God when you serve the church.
Yeah.
Because when you get out there doing your clogs and whatever else you're doing, that's doing God's work, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. So you've got the idea. You've got the idea.
Okay,
yeah. Yeah, good. Right, yeah. Well, keep up the good work. Anyway, he says that he'll suffer loss, the guy that's just wasted his life, as it were, yeah? And I guess we'll all have a bit of hay and straw around us somewhere. Well, we're, you think about it, none of us are quite matched up to what we should be, but thank the Lord, there may be a bit of gold and silver and good stones in that lot as well. So, he says, he'll escape as one escaping through the flames. Well, that's not a pleasant experience. And he's warning these Corinthians, if you carry on as babies, you'll have nothing to show for your lives. That's really what he's getting at. The idea is to get these Corinthians getting doing something useful, instead of falling out with each other. Yeah. Right. Do you not know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? He's trying to make them start thinking about what the realities are. You, as God's people, are his temple. Yeah. Special. Supposed to be worshipping the Lord. His Spirit lives in you. Yeah. And so he says, if anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is sacred and you are that temple. His warning says, don't let people start destroying what God's building, because they'll be in big trouble. That's the case, yeah. And the Lord says, those who touch you, it's like touching, you know, touching his anointed people, are like touching the apple of his eye, poking him in the eye is what they'll be doing to God. Terrible. Now, he says, do not deceive yourselves. If anyone thinks he's wise by the standards of this age, he should become a fool, so that he may become wise. Now, he's being a bit sort of sarcastic here. He said, if any of you think you're wise by the standards of this age, and if you went to Corinth and said, how many of you are wise? They'd all put their hands up. We're smart guys in Corinth. We know a thing or two. And Paul's saying is, you're as dumb as they come. Because you really haven't got the basics, have you, yeah? What you need to do is start becoming fools for Jesus, yeah? Just trusting in him, believing that he's important, that he died for you, and what you do matters because you're serving him, not thinking about other people all the time, yeah? As if they're more important. So, become a fool. Are you ready to become a fool for Jesus? Right. Some of us don't have far to go. We started out as fools to begin with. I speak of myself there, brothers and sisters, yeah? Right.
The Bible says
they're
not calling
around the fool. No, Jesus is talking about dismissing people as not worth anything, yes? Yeah. For, and he said this before, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. Yeah? The philosophies of this world, the way, the clever, I don't despise learning and education, I've had a good one and I thank God for it, yeah? But you can be too smart for your own good sometimes, yeah? And he's really saying here that the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. The world's way of thinking is crazy, yeah? And you'll see, he says, as it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile. I pray for this guy, and he needs your prayers. Richard Dawkins. Have you heard of that gentleman?
Yeah.
He's a militant atheist, evangelical atheist, I'd call him. Yeah. He wants to, he doesn't know God, that's for a start, and he doesn't know religion, because he makes it up as he goes along. But he's got his own great ideas about what we're supposed to be and how we're supposed to live and all that sort of stuff. And clever as they come, I mean, he's got some degrees and letters after his name. Yeah. But take one of our children in Sunday school. Yeah. They may not have the degrees, but if you know Jesus, you've got more than he has.
Mm-hmm.
And always will have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so he's saying, God's foolishness might look foolishness to the world, but he's smart on God's side of things, yeah? And he catches the craftiness, the wise in their craftiness, yes? He knows what they're up to.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile. They just will come to nothing, yeah? And when he uses the word wise, he's using the idea of the Greek philosophers, those clever people that think they know everything, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So then, and this is his conclusion, so then, no more boasting about men, yeah? Don't do it. Don't do it. No more boasting about men. All things are yours. Yeah? Why do you say I prefer him? He says you've got them both. It's not a matter of Paul or Apollos. You've got us, both of us. Yeah? All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas. You know who Cephas is?
Peter.
It's Peter. That's Cephas is his Jewish name. Jesus called him Cephas. That's a Jewish word, yeah? He was called Shimon, Simon, yeah? And Jesus says, you're no longer called Simon, I'm going to call you Cephas, which means rock. Call him Rocky. Yeah.
Why did they change their name for that?
Why did Jesus change their names? Or change his name?
Yeah, because he had to change it twice.
No, Peter's the Greek translation for Cephas.
Ah,
that's all it is, yeah, yeah. No, he changed his name though. Why?
When they used to get baptized, they changed their name.
Sometimes they did, yes, yes, yeah. Why? Why'd they get them a new name? I mean, it happens in the Bible all the time. What about Jacob? Became Israel. Abraham. Abraham became Abraham. Why the change of name? It carries significance. The name means something. Yes, it does. The meanings are important. But there's something underneath that, and it's this. Something's changed. Inside them. Not just the label, but the contents have changed. Yeah. Abraham is now a believer in God Almighty, and he's going to become the father of a great nation. Yeah? Yeah, so God's changed his name.
Will you change our name, sir?
Will you change your name?
Will you change our name?
Will I change your name?
Yeah.
Well, I do. What should I call you, brother?
Trouble.
Trouble. There you are. What? I wouldn't have said that. I'll say no more. All things are yours, right? See, Pat, all the world, or life, or death, or the present, or the future, yeah? He says, as a child of God, you're a rich person. You've got all these things, yeah? You've got the people, or the speakers, the preachers, they're yours. The world, yes, it's yours.
We haven't got to worry about a thing.
Exactly.
Well,
he does say, yeah? Life's yours. God's given you life. And it's eternal life. Mm. Yes? Not just for X number of years. Mm. You've got eternal life. Isn't that lovely to know? Right. So when we leave this world, we're only starting, really. Mm. Yeah? And he said, oh, death. Death's yours. What's that mean? That sounds a bit worrying, doesn't it? What does he mean by death is yours?
No,
he's telling this to believers. Death's yours as well. You've got everything. Death included.
Death has conquered.
Death's been beaten, yes. It's now, it's not, it is an enemy, it's called an enemy. But what does death become for the believer? It's a doorway. Yeah? It's not the blank wall you're going to hit. It's a door into the presence of God.
It's a golden door.
Exactly. We're going to see Jesus. So, death, I've got you beaten. Yes? That's the way it is. And all these are yours, he says. And things present, so everything now is yours, and things in the future, God's got it all in hand. It's wonderful to know, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. That doesn't mean to say life's going to be easy, did you know? You knew that already, didn't you? Yeah. But God's in charge, ultimately. He's overruling all these things, yeah? And so, all are yours, everything. And you are of Christ, and Christ is of God. I love this little verse there. It always reminds me, what it's basically saying is, everything's yours, and Jesus, Jesus has got you, and God the Father's got Jesus, right? Mm. Now, you won't know this because you're all too young, but do you remember the children's sweets called Spangles?
Yeah.
Some of you might.
Yeah.
Yeah, some of you don't because you're too young. Right, they were boiled sweets, that's what they were. They were boiled sweets, fruit flavoured sweets.
Yeah.
Square ones with a little dimple in there. Yeah. Right. Can you remember the flavours? They were all nice. Yeah. Anyway, Spangles they called them. But the selling point of Spangles was, it says, they were double wrapped. They were in their wrapper, but when you opened the wrapper, each sweet had its own wrap around it. Yeah? And it says double wrapped to keep all the dirt out and all the flavour in. Yeah? You are a Spangle. That right? Yeah? You are in Christ, and Christ is in God. Double wrapped. Yes? It's what he's saying is, you Corinthian people ought to really get your head straightened out and start growing up. God's given you all this. Why do you worry about silly little things, making big mountains out of what are small hills? Yeah? Start getting the bigger perspective. You're God's children. You're there to serve him. You're there to be a blessing to each other. And it's all yours anyway. Why get steamed up? Mm-hmm. Yes? So, I rest my case. We'll leave it there. And chapter 4 is Paul has to defend himself because some of them saying he wasn't a real apostle, you know. All those 12 apostles with Jesus were there. They're all right. But you mean Paul, he turned up later on. He's not a real one, you know. So Paul has to deal with that. But that's for next time, isn't it?
Can I say, the growing up from milk, you know, to meat, and
yes,
that, some of us don't feel particularly academic.
It's not about being academic. No, it isn't.
It's a matter of beginning to do what God says to do, having the right values.
Yes.
But just doing things and influencing other people and so on. And you get what you're wise from those experiences.
Yeah.
It's
not necessarily big theology. I came across a wonderful preacher. He's gone home to the Lord now. Got a great spirit. I forgot his name. Oh dear. Never mind. It happens to us all, yes. Yeah. Dwight. Dwight somebody.
I had to.
No. Anyway. Wonderful godly man, but he said this, and he started teaching it, understanding the Jewish perspective behind the Christian faith, yeah? And he said, you know, one of the interesting things about the New Testament is, you see in the New Testament these early Jewish believers have really got a grip on worshipping Jesus as the Son of God, as God. Yeah? They really did that. They worshipped, they served, they glorified Jesus. But they never told us anything about the Trinity. Yeah? They didn't do the theology, they did the worship. They got on with what God, and they said that runs right through the Bible. Yeah? They don't do systematic theology, they just do what God told them to do. Leave somebody else to work out the theology, just get on with doing what God wants you to do. And that was fantastic. It was only, what, three centuries later that they started formulating the doctrine of the Trinity. Yeah? They all got into their Greek thinking then. But before then, they were worshipping Jesus, receiving the Holy Spirit, praising Father, and really getting blessed.
And we can all do that.
And we can all do that, yeah. You don't need a theology degree to know the Lord, do you? Which is just as well. Yeah. We can all know Jesus. Isn't that fantastic, eh? Praise the Lord, from the little ones to the old ones, yeah. Let's pray. We'll call that a day. Lord and Father, thank you for our Jesus, your Son. What a wonderful, wonderful Saviour he is. Lord, and we come humbly before you. We realise as we've read this passage, Lord, that there will be a day when we stand before you, Lord Jesus. It'll be wonderful, yes, Lord, but awesome too. Lord, as we think about perhaps the things we've thought wrong and done wrong, the times we've wasted, Lord, and the stupid things we've got involved in, forgive us, Lord. And thank you that there is forgiveness. Lord, we don't have to drag it all up, Lord. It can be dealt with. Praise your name. Help us, Lord, to build in our lives and in with each other, Lord, things that are going to be quality things, lasting things, Lord, good things. Oh, Lord, to show that love, patience, kindness, the fruit of the Spirit, gentleness, self-control, all these things, Lord, that really make a difference to being a human being in this world. So bless us, we pray, Lord. Thank you for the Corinthians with all their mistakes, Lord, that there were things that you wanted us to learn because of them. So bless us, we pray, and thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.